I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of The Memo. It is Wednesday, July 27th. It's only 114 degrees today, so that means it's looking up. That's cooler than yesterday's 116 degrees.
We're still below the boiling point.
That's Are we?
Yes.
Barely. I think this is the boiling point, this room.
Yeah, I thought they fixed the AC. But
they did. This is fixed.
I guess they're turning this into the Daily Journal sauna.
This is the hot box. This is so we bring people in for interviews and really interrogate them. All we need is that swinging lamp, like in the detective's office, like in Law and Order, and we'll be good to go. Where were you on June 24th? I don't know. I'm sorry. It's so hot in here.
I'll be good cop, you can be bad cop.
Okay.
Or I'll be, no, I want to be bad cop.
You want to be bad cop?
Yeah.
You want to hit him with the phone book?
Yes. Or we could do like in that movie, The Other Guys, Bad Cop.
Crazy
bad
cop. Yeah, bad cop. I thought you said bad cop, yeah, bad cop. Just start strangling him across the table.
Oh, I said, good cop, bad cop.
Give me answers. I'm Derek Russell. That's Brad Locke here on this Wednesday afternoon, bringing you all the news that's fit to talk about in Northeast Mississippi today.
We have lots of news in the journal,
don't
we?
Do we?
We sure do.
It's a full paper.
Every day, 7 days a week. Can't say that about all newspapers these days.
364 days a year.
Is it the Times Picayune that's like 3 days a week now? One of those papers?
Yep, here comes Chris Kiefer.
The Sometimes Picayune, yeah, it's three-ish.
Oh, the Sometimes Picayune.
Wow, tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, that one's personal. That was my hometown paper. I grew up reading every day.
Well, that's too bad.
He held back there. There was a hesitation in his voice that I didn't know what we were waiting for. All right.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, are you awake? There's no
sure
coffee
am.
In your perimeter.
I've had two cups. Probably perimeter. Need some more.
Parameter.
Parameter.
That's not the right word.
Perimeter?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no coffee right now.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Yeah. I had two cups. That's usually my
limit. Oh, you've had coffee.
I've had coffee.
You don't seem...
I overslept today, though.
Ah, okay.
That's probably what's wrong.
There we go. That was
been doing that a lot lately.
All I needed was the swinging lamp, and we would have gotten to the bottom of that case. Where's your coffee this morning? I overslept. Okay. You're free to go, sir.
Oh, boy. What do we got on the show today?
Emma Kent's going to be joining us.
Emma Kent.
To talk education. Jenna Parsons joining us to discuss food. Caleb Bedillion going to be discussing the humane shelter here in town. And
Floyd
somebody
Ingram.
Else. Yes,
Floyd Ingram. We're going to talk about the Houston Solar Car team. Guess what? Spoiler, they won again.
Spoiler alert, it runs on sun.
What?
Light. Power.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I thought it...
I assume it's solar. It runs off the moon. No, it runs off the sun, Brad. What are you thinking? Are you thinking about
I was trying
food?
To think of a good joke there.
Oh, I don't know.
I got nothing.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Look like you're thinking about a nice sandwich.
Mm.
That's kind of what you do. You tilt your head back and lean to the left a little bit. And you're like,
I'll probably have a sandwich for lunch today.
Provolone.
Love provolone. Provolone is the best of the cheeses.
Of all the cheeses?
In my opinion. I mean, I love all the cheeses.
Uh-huh.
But provolone is probably my favorite.
It's good to know.
Just saying.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, well... Let's stop talking about cheese and do a show now.
Yes, you're drooling slightly. Mm. Right over the microphone, you're going to electrocute yourself.
Let's hope not.
All right.
Maggie, you have to jump in here.
No, okay. I'm okay with this.
She's ready. Or I might just pass out from the heat.
Today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, formerly known as Palmer's. The locally owned grocery store still offers high quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. Visit Shoppers Value Foods on East Main.
All right, let's bring in Floyd Ingram, works for our sister paper, the Chickasaw Journal. How you doing, Floyd?
Man, the sun is shining in Chickasaw County today.
Well, good, Floyd. I'm glad to hear, because last I looked, it was kind of cloudy up here in Tupelo. Speaking of sunshine, Floyd, Houston Solar...
That's terrible.
Come on now. We're talking about solar cars. That's a pretty good segue.
Go ahead.
Speaking of sunshine, Floyd...
Yes.
The Houston Solar Car Team, of course, those cars run on sunlight, Derek. Thank you. Houston Solar Car Team, guess what? They won again. I guess this is what you...
15th consecutive year in a row.
Guess that's called a dynasty, huh?
2016 Solar Car Challenge Trophy. We're very proud of that team. Very proud of that team.
So this is, of course, last year they went to Australia, which they've done before, but they do this every year. And they start out in Texas, don't they? And they just, I mean, they go all the way to Minnesota?
Started at Texas Motor Speedway in Fort Worth, headed north to Ardmore, Oklahoma. Then it was a stop in, I think it was Fremont, Nebraska, and headed on north. They were in Manhattan, Kansas. One day, and then on to into Iowa, Worthington, Iowa, I think, and then pulled into Minneapolis, Minnesota on Saturday. Saturday afternoon is when the race finished up, and of course they had their race banquet in Minneapolis July the 23rd, and got the, like I said, and I'll say it time and time again, 15th consecutive Solar Car Challenge Trophy,
and you know, and they got, you know, they have a time limit, I guess, on these on this race, and apparently the cutoff was 4 o'clock, and they rolled in at 3:59, right?
It's a staged race, very similar to your Tour de France, where they bicycle race, where they start teams at different times. They don't want a bunch of solar cars. I mean, it's not a NASCAR freight train that they've got running down the highway.
Right.
They start them at different times. And then you've got a time when you're supposed to stop each day.
Right.
And Saturday it was 4 o'clock. And our team, you're right, it was a cloudy day, a very cloudy day. So they were the batteries on the car were not charging from the solar array that's on top of the car. And so they were beginning to run their batteries down. And so they were having to sort of monitor how much energy they had in their battery versus how many miles they had to go versus how much the little motor on there burns out of the battery per hour. A lot of math that I'm not – I'm a newspaper guy. I know words and letters, but a lot of math that they had to go through, hertz, ohms, and amperage and resistance and all that kind of stuff to figure out exactly how much time they had and how hard they needed to push that car. They literally drained it down to just about the last drop of energy in that battery. They had to stop at a stop sign about two blocks, or a stoplight about two blocks from the finish line, and they were really concerned that the car might not have enough power to start again, to, you know, from a complete stop.
Yeah.
To start again. But they had put their lightest and youngest driver in there, so that it didn't burn any more power than it had to. They told him to go, and that little car, it'll run 50, 60 miles an hour. They say they've had it up to 80, and it's really a neat little vehicle. It's a very simple design, tough as nails. The car didn't even have a flat this year. No major breakdowns or anything like that. It really ran quite well.
You know, this program started at Houston High School in 2000, and they started winning pretty quick after that. What is it? Why is – basic question, Floyd, why do they keep winning?
Key part of it is Keith Reese, who runs the solar car program down there, and also the electricity class out of the Houston Votech program. He has gotten involved with this. He's kept up with people nationwide. He's got some contacts with some people that that know where to get the batteries. The solar array actually came from a factory down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Hmm. But I've also told people it's a real unique blend. It's the team more probably than anything else that has allowed them to win. They can work on the car. I've told people repeatedly it's a combination of good old Southern boy NASCAR know-how, duct tape and baling wire, and some very high-tech equipment. Like I said, the solar array that gathers the energy that's on top, the motors that were designed and created at Mississippi State University. The batteries, I'm not sure exactly where they come from. They're very high-tech and are state-of-the-art. And like I said, it's a coupling of technology and people that know how to bend wrenches. They've also got a PR little team that comes out and handles the media when they come up to the stops. They've got a safety officers. They've got a navigator that makes sure they don't take any wrong turns or have to go any extra miles or anything like that. Got people that watch the weather. Everybody on that team's got a job, and they do it to the best of their ability, and they win races 15 years in a row. It's really an incredible little program. It really is.
All right. Well, Floyd Ingram, appreciate your time. Y'all can find his story. We had it in Tuesday's Journal and also at djournal.com. Thank you, Floyd.
And in case you can't tell, I'm sort of Houston proud about this.
Yeah.
This is something they do, and they do well. Thanks, Brad.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Hey, be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later that day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps. We're at preprally.djournal.com, so look for a new episode of that today. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. You can listen to that for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Those guys still on vacation, so no episode this week. I believe they'll return next week.
Caleb Bedillion joining us now. Looks like preliminary work has begun for the new animal shelter, finally, after what seems like years of waiting for dirt work to begin over on the area.
10 years, actually.
10 years! I was going to make a joke, but I'm not going to. Well, what's going on over on Cliff Gookin?
All right, so this is the site where the new Tupelo Lee Humane Society shelter is going to be built, and we've got a lot of dirt moving. So basically, they're grading the site. It was a little hilly, so they got to level it and compact it so that you've got a prepared site to build a foundation. So the dirt work is all that's going on right now. The Humane Society doesn't yet have a permit to actually begin constructing a structure out there, but that's coming. I spoke with Jay Quimby, president of the Humane Society board, and he's hoping to have a formal groundbreaking sometime in August. We'll see how that works out, since obviously this has been a long time coming. But hey, they're doing something out there, so they're closer than they ever have been before. We can say that much.
It's great to see work actually happening on the project. Like you said, it's been a long time in preparation, but they have secured all these donations as well as time from different contractors, construction companies, and engineers for this structure.
Right, right. I mean, that 10-year waiting period, fundraising has been going on continuously. And Mr. Quimby tells me the goal is that when the new shelter opens, it will be debt-free.
That's very important. To start off that way.
And this, the city of Tupelo is contributing $500,000, a pretty significant amount of public money toward the construction of the new shelter. The shelter, of course, houses all the stray or loose or animals that have been causing problems that are picked up by the city. The city has no technically city-owned pound. They contract with the Humane Society, which currently is operating out of a city-owned building that is in poor condition. In fact, probably could tell me a few things about the building.
But if you've ever been in there, it's a mess, and it's not their problem. It's just
an old
facility
yeah.
that's fallen apart without funds to keep it going. The funds are going to keep the animals going, so that's important. Currently, the city is contributing $175,000 per year.
Annually, that's for operating expenses and also includes a maintenance allowance for this poor aging building.
Yes. So looks like that they are finally going to get hopefully what they've been waiting for. This is next to the gas station at the corner of Thomas Street. I don't think it's a BP station anymore. I don't know what it is, but it's a gas station at the corner of Thomas Street and Cliff Gookin. There's been a banner there for some time that says we'll be opening in 2015.
Yeah, that sign's been there a while, obviously a little out of date, but, you know, at least it wasn't another 10 years.
Yep. Well, always good to have some good news coming out of the area. Caleb, thanks for joining us today.
Sure thing, Derek.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. A group of parents from across Mississippi has come together to form a pro-public education political action committee. The Mississippi Public Education PAC is nonpartisan. It plans to push for the election of legislators who support public education. Tupelo parent Kate Faribault was one of the group's three founding board members. Faribault also was the 2015 Parent of the Year for the Tupelo School District and the 1st Congressional District. She said the group was inspired to act after seeing the 2016 legislature handle numerous bills she believes are harmful to public education. Faribault said 90% of Mississippi's children attend public schools, and many of them lack resources. She felt there needed to be a PAC advocating for public education.
A workshop held in Tupelo on Tuesday night encouraged open dialogue about race and privilege. About 150 people attended the event at Link Center. It was led by Tony Caldwell and Jandell Crutchfield with the University of Mississippi Department of Social Work. They said the goal was to break down barriers and talk about difficult topics. They encouraged participants to examine their unconscious biases. Tupelo and Lee County NAACP President Chris Traylor attended the event and said it was great for people to come together to learn about each other.
Several thousand people gathered at the Neshoba County Fair on Tuesday to hear Donald Trump Jr. speak about his father's candidacy for president. Trump spoke for about 5 minutes. He referred to his father's position on several issues and expressed his appreciation for Mississippi's support. Trump also spoke about appearing on the same stage from which Ronald Reagan kicked off his 1980 presidential campaign. Before he spoke, Trump stopped at numerous cabins with Governor Phil Bryant and U.S. Representatives Greg Harper and Trent Kelly.
Two separate public demonstrations will take place Saturday at opposite ends of Tupelo and at different times. Tupelo Police Chief Bart Aguirre approved a permit for a group called Our Lives Matter 2 to host a downtown march and demonstration at City Hall on Saturday morning. Aguirre also approved a permit for the Confederates United Patriot Society to host a demonstration at Ballard Park that afternoon. According to Tupelo City Attorney Ben Logan, the approval of both permits came after negotiations over the times and locations of the events. While both groups have said their demonstrations would be peaceful, city leaders felt it best to separate the two groups.
An Oxford music shop was listed as one of the 10 greatest record stores in the country by USA Today. The article cited the record store, The End of All Music. It joined vinyl shops in Seattle, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Pittsburgh, Portland, St. Louis, Princeton, and Nashville. The list was compiled by Amanda Petrusich. She also is the author of Do Not Sell at Any Price, The Wild Obsessive Hunt for the World's Rarest 78 RPM Records. The article not only cited the Oxford record store, but also recognized Square Books as one of the country's greatest bookstores. Need to remind you that today's show is brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods, locally owned grocery store on East Main. The store recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owners and the employees haven't changed. Damon Palmer and his brother Jason are the third generation owners of the East Tupelo grocery store that was founded in 1957. The Palmer brothers have teamed up with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year and decided to go with their Cost Plus program. So the store now sells its groceries 10% over cost. That's allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and better parking. So visit Shoppers Value Foods for high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. So welcome Emma Kent into the program. Emma, how are you today?
I'm good, Brad. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking.
I'd be better if I had some blueberry coffee.
Sorry, I'm all out. Well, I'm not all out. It's just not here.
I just didn't bring you any. That's what he meant by.
Emma said she was only coming on here today if I shared my coffee with her, but awkward. I don't have it with me. Had two cups this morning, though. It was good, Emma. So good.
Don't rub it in, Brad.
Sorry. Anywho, you've got a couple of stories in the paper today. Let's talk about one of them. Got this teacher leadership program going on in the Tupelo Public School District. It's called the Teacher Leadership Academy. So what's kind of the focus of this program?
Well, the program is designed as kind of an extra professional development opportunity for teachers who want to be administrators. So teachers who are working on an administration degree or teachers who have already earned one. So basically, it's going to help them prepare to kind of take that next step when they're ready or when they can to the administrative level.
Okay. And obviously that's a big benefit to the school district. You have that kind of training, and if they get to that administrative level, you figure they're very qualified.
Right. So it makes when the school has like principal positions or assistant principal or, you know, anything administrative come open, they'll have a really qualified pool of candidates to choose from because they'll be getting that extra training.
Yeah. And this is like a 7-month deal. I mean, what kind of stuff will they be doing? Job shadowing and...
They'll be doing, I guess, like some lessons kind of, you know, they'll go over some leadership skills and just some things that they need to know, you know, moving from a teacher to an administration position. They'll do job shadowing with some administrators already in the district. And they'll just, they'll just learn how to be administrators, really.
So this was Superintendent Gerald Loden's brainchild, as he said in the story.
His idea, yeah.
Yeah, but Cordis Curry is the one who's kind of spearheading it, right?
She is. She is. She's in charge. And she recently, I mean, she was principal at Lawhorn Elementary this past year and just moved up to federal programs director. And she won Administrator of the Year.
She did.
So she, I think she's the right person for the job, probably.
Yeah. Sounds like it. Well, this story is in today's journal. You can read more about it at djournal.com. Emma, thanks for joining us. Maybe I'll have some coffee for you next time, but probably not.
So cruel. Thanks.
Jenna Parsons joining us now on this Wednesday to discuss food. Although it's Wednesday, your column discusses this Friday. Why are we celebrating lasagna this Friday?
Because Friday's National Lasagna Day.
National, everything gets a day.
Well, I said, I think there must be some culinary calendar somewhere.
No,
and everything,
it's called marketing. Stouffer's probably came up with this.
Everything gets a day. But I will not, if there is a National Liver Day, I will not be celebrating, nor will I celebrate National Boiled Okra Day or National Raw Oyster Day.
Brad drinks on National Liver Day.
Every day is National Liver Day for me.
So National Lasagna Day, you've got a recipe for lasagna roll-ups.
Yes.
Here.
This is not obviously a traditional lasagna like you think of with the noodles and the meat sauce and all the
and
cheeses.
Garfield.
Garfield, right. No, this is when our daughter Mary wasn't eating beef. And my husband would make stuffed shells. I had to find an alternative for Mary. So co-worker Michaela Morris gave me this recipe, and it uses lasagna noodles, but you stuff them with chicken and ricotta and herbs and roll them up and put a red sauce over them, and it's actually good. When we would serve the stuffed shells, which are stuffed with beef and veal or pork, and we would do the lasagna roll-ups, people would eat both of them equally. They're quite good.
Hard to go wrong there. All of it sounds edible.
Yes, and you could, if a red sauce is too heavy for you for the summer, which some people don't like to eat, that type of, you know, spaghetti and lasagna and whatnot in the summer, you could put a white sauce over it to make it a little lighter.
Drooling just thinking about it, Jenna. Your cook of the week's from Pontotoc County,
Charlotte
Bass.
She lives right on Kings Highway.
There you go. Tell us about her.
She was neat. She really, I bet if she said it once, she said 5 or 6 times during the interview how important it is to sit down as a family for dinner. And this is something that her mom insisted on, that they sit down at the table. And she likes to call it, you know, breaking the bread, but for fellowship and just to talk about what they had done that day. And so because it was important to her mother, it's now important to her. And she has a huge dining room table where everyone gathers at her house on Sundays. But even just during the week, it's important for her to sit down. And while we were doing the interview, her grandson was there, and he sat down at the table with us and had a couple of bowls of cereal. not exactly breaking of the bread, but he did sit down and participate in the conversation. But she has a beautiful home. The kitchen, she and her husband built the house, but I think... but the brick in the kitchen is 100-year-old brick.
Wow.
It's really, really a neat.
See a little
neat,
of it.
Yeah, you can see a little bit of it
there.
in the background.
Was that important to your mother, sitting down as a family and eating together?
Yes, it was. We were expected to be at the table every night. We didn't get to eat. It was a rare occasion that we got to eat in the den in front of the TV. And when I say rare, I mean maybe once every couple of months. And I went through a phase starting in about 4th grade where I discovered Nancy Drew mysteries. And I couldn't keep my nose out of them. And I took one everywhere I went. And I can remember going to the kitchen table with my Nancy Drew and mother
She'd
rapping me on
it.
The hand and saying, put the book down. and let's talk. And
it was important to my mother, but I think that made me resent it because I usually just will eat it standing at the counter. But I also think if I'm standing eating the
There's no calories.
Exactly. Maybe I could. Maybe it doesn't affect me as poorly.
No, when my kids were growing up, we ate at the table. We ate at the table every night, even after soccer. And we were on the soccer field. I would have stuck something in the crock pot, or maybe we just stop at Subway on the way home, but we sat at the table and ate, and they knew that was expected. Now that they're gone, Charlie and I tend to eat in the den in front of the TV, but we are eating on a table with real plates and real napkins and placemats and sometimes candles. I mean, we're not slobs about it.
No, not sitting on the floor.
It's a step above the old TV tray.
Dropping popcorn under the couch like I may or may not have not done last week. All right, Jenna, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's episode of The Memo, and once again, we remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, where you can get the ingredients for the recipes in today's food section. The Palmer brothers have worked hard on improving every area of the store to make customers' experiences even better than before and to save them money on quality name brand products. Visit the locally owned grocery store on East Main Street. You'll love the look, love the prices, and get help by the same people you knew at Palmer's. Thanks for listening. A variety of ways to find us on Twitter at @DJournalMemo. And, of course, you can listen to us in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at memo.djournal.com. Send us an email with your thoughts and comments about just whatever. It's memo@journalinc.com. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Derek's on Twitter at @WDerekRussell. Chris is on Twitter at Chris Kiefer. And you can find more on the stories that we talked about today in your daily journal or at djournal.com. And, of course, the journal is on Twitter at djournal now. We'll be back on Thursday for more news and entertainment talk here on The Memo. Thanks for joining us.